Good morning. Appreciate prayer this morning. I saw Brother John yesterday and he said, well, we get Nathan and Kara back and looks like we get you back too. I said, well, okay. I'd like to share a little bit of a few scriptures this morning on starting out in the book of Haggai, the first chapter. And I'd like to start at the second verse. It says, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. The time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He said, ye have sown much, and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why? Saith the Lord of hosts. Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labor of the hands. I want to felt like the Lord started speaking to my heart after reading these scriptures. When it says the Lord of hosts, the Septuagint says the Lord of heaven's armies. Verse 2 where we started out, it says the Lord of hosts saying. The Septuagint rendering is the Lord of heaven's armies. That gives a lot of weight to who is speaking and to the message that's coming to us. We want to recognize that God has messages for us today, just like He did for them back then. And the people were saying, this is what the Lord said, the people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. You see, they had come back from captivity, and they had been rebuilding their own houses, and they had their sealed houses. But the Lord's house was still laying waste. And God didn't want that to happen. And they were working, they were laboring, they were bringing home wages. They were trying to survive. And the Lord said, I'm blowing on it because of my house that's lying waste. I want to say this morning that the Lord's house is very dear to the Lord's heart. And I don't consider it just the temple like they did back then, but the Lord's house involves people. It involves spiritual things. It involves spiritual activity on our part. And today the Lord doesn't want, He doesn't want His house to lie waste. He wants us to go get wood. He wants us to do what we can to seek Him, to allow Him to work. I want to notice just different of the phrases here. He said, you've sown much and you bring in little. Ye eat, but you don't have enough. And then he said, you looked for much and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. And he said, why? Because of my house that lies waste. And he says, and ye run every man into his own house. It's so easy for us today to get preoccupied with our own things. We get so busy with life. We get so busy with the responsibilities of life. And we can neglect the Lord's house. I'd like to write the title of our message this morning here. Now I want to, I'd like to compare this real briefly with Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 24th verse. Matthew, the 6th chapter and the 24th verse, it says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And he goes on and he mentions different things about food, about clothing, shelter. He talks about how God is able to take care of the fowls of the air and the sparrows. Now verse, I want to look down to verse 32. It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's so easy today for us to get preoccupied. Also, in reading and studying this scripture, it's like he said, all the Gentiles seek. It's like that was the main thing on their minds. That was a predominant thing that they were thinking about. It was in the foremost, their foremost thoughts. He said, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I asked myself, Lord, how can I tell that I'm putting You first in my life? How do I know that You have first place? The Lord wants first place. He doesn't want second place. He doesn't want a close second. He doesn't want third place. He wants first. How can I tell that I'm putting God first in my life? Now he mentioned here, he said, no man can serve two masters. He will hate the one and love the other. Now, I don't believe there's anybody in here this morning that hates God. I have my doubts. But there's anybody would say, I hate God. I'm angry at God. In fact, you don't hear very many people in the world saying that. Even though there are. But the critical part of this scripture doesn't mean hate, angry, despised. It means to love less. It means You know, I'm loving God, but I'm loving Him less than something else. And that's the difficult part of the Scripture. In other words, I'm letting something else take first place in my heart and in my life. And we recognize from Malachi, you know, you take some little pieces of paper, and I could put them in my hand, and what happens? They just fly. They scatter. You know, that's what the Lord said He was doing. He says, you're bringing it home, and I'm blowing upon it. Because my house is lying waste. Now, but these scriptures are saying, if you will put me first, I will add to you. I'll take care of you. I'll work things out for your good and your blessing and your benefit. You know, sometimes we're in a great struggle and conflict. We need to pull back and not just think about the conflict that we're in, but we need to ask and say, Lord, what are you trying to show me here? Because we cause ourselves, we can get into some difficult places by allowing the Lord to come second place in our lives. Did you know there's some tangible things that we can look at to help us to know if God has first place or not? There are some tangible things that we can see in our own lives if we're putting God first. I want to mention three of them here this morning. Number one is our check register, our bank account. When we go through and look at our spendings, does it reflect that I'm putting God first, number one, in my life? Or does it show something different? I want to get another verse in Malachi. And that's what brought this thought to me, was the one in Malachi. Malachi, the third chapter in the eighth verse, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Lord was pretty plain with him, wasn't he? You've come short in your giving, in your tithes and offerings. You're not really putting me first. Your bank statement, the balance is coming up short. That's what he's telling them here. Verse 9, he says, you are cursed with a curse. The same thing was happening in Malachi, was happening in Haggai. They weren't putting God first. And he says, even this whole nation, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, here instead of the Lord's blowing on things, He says, I'm going to add to you. I'm going to say, I don't believe in a wealthy gospel. I'm not trying to preach that. That if you just put God first in everything, that your bank account and you'll become a millionaire. I don't go there. I don't believe that. $1 million for most of us in the bank account would not be good for us. Spiritually. People that have $1 million are in very difficult places, spiritually speaking. There's a lot of temptation that goes with that. But I believe he's saying that if you will bring the tithes into my storehouse, that there can be meat in my house, I'll open you the windows of heaven. I'll provide and I'll work things out for you in your life. We have to trust the Lord to do that, don't we? So our money is a very much of a reflection of where, and Jesus talked about you can't serve God and mammon. And I believe our occupation is related to mammon. Our occupation is what we earn our living with. It's what we use to provide our houses, our homes, our to be able to eat and to live. You know, our occupations can become first place if we're not careful. It's in my, all the time, in my thoughts. I'm thinking about all the time. And that's what the Lord said. That's what the Gentiles are doing. The Lord help us today. Another area number two, is our conversation. The things that we like to talk about. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So we've got to take inventory of the things that what do I talk about in my life? What do I talk about throughout the day? Where are my thoughts going? Our conversation, another scripture in Malachi. Malachi, the third chapter and the 16th verse. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. So here, they that feared the Lord, they thought upon and they spoke often one to another. You know, the Lord, He hears that, doesn't He? He hears our conversations. He hears more than that. He hears the thoughts of our heart. Just like where we started out, they're saying, well, it's not time for the Lord's house to be built. I don't know if they were saying that verbally, but it was what they were saying down in their heart. And you and I, sometimes we as humans, we can procrastinate also. And we can put things off. But Lord, help us today where our heart is what's going to be on the tip of our tongue, so to speak. The Lord wants us, and I'm not saying that you got to say something spiritual every minute of the day, but the Lord wants to hear it every so often. He wants to know that that's the vein our mind is running in. That's the channel our heart is found, is being able to share. And I have felt that so many times. I've felt when the Lord seems like He opens the door for me to share something or testimony or, you know, personal. It's just like, I get so blessed. Sometimes I wonder, I don't know if they got anything out of it or not, but Lord, that was wonderful. The Lord works that way. He works through the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart. And Lord, help us today to our conversation that it's... Another scripture talks about our conversation is in heaven from whence we look for the Savior. Here they were talking to one another. They feared the Lord. They thought upon Him and they were talking to one another. And the Lord hearkened and He heard that. and a book of remembrance. That tells us where our heart is at. If we seldom ever talk about the Lord or talk about spiritual things or scriptures, what is that saying to us? It's saying that something has probably taken first place. And our heart is somewhere else. Lord, help us today. And the last one I want to mention this morning is our time. Our time is a valuable commodity to every one of us. And it's running out. Every day our time is running out. Constantly. You know, it's very important for us to give the Lord some time. Some prime time. Not just what's left over at the end of the day when we're all tired and we come in, we're ready to lay our heads on our bed. The song that we sing says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. It takes time to be able to quiet our hearts and steel our souls before God. And to be able to receive of His fullness and of His goodness and of His mercy that He wants to pour out into our hearts and our lives. He wants to pour it out upon us. But we've got to be in the place to be able to receive it. We've got to be putting Him up there at number one. Not number two and not number three. He wants to be number one. I want to, our time is very valuable to us, but I want to mention our time for personal devotions. And dear ones, I'm human too. I know life is busy. Life gets busy. But before the cares and the noise of the day settles in, take time to get alone and to get quiet in your private devotions. Because it's through that quietness that God speaks to us. And I know He can speak to us anytime. And I believe He does many times. But most of the time, I have found the Lord speaks to me when I've gotten myself quiet. And I'm putting Him first and I'm seeking Him and I'm giving Him some time. I'm not just saying a little 15-minute prayer before I have to go to work, but I'm spending some time on my knees. Lord, I need to hear from You. I need to hear Your thoughts, Your plans. I need Your inspiration and Your help. When we take time, Lord, the Lord is faithful to help us. As we examine these three areas of our life, you know, it's not like we can just push a button and we're kind of robotic and it's it's that going to be that way every time. Serving the Lord takes renewed purposes. It takes renewed commitments. Just like our marriages do. It takes renewing ourselves in God and putting Him first in our hearts, in our lives. But I want to say when we do, things go so much better. Just like He said there, if you seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, all these other things I will add to you. I will bless you and I will help you if you'll just put Me first. You know, I know we live in a busy time. We live in an age of computers and technologies and cell phones, and our world is just bombarded with information and things that are happening all the time. And it means a whole lot for us to be able to set aside and take time for God to speak to us and to help us in our lives and to give us the direction that we need. If we put the Lord first, He will do that. He'll give us what we need when we need it. But if something comes between, takes that first place, and God begins to be second place and third place, we're going to find ourselves struggling. And we're going to find ourselves, the Lord, blowing on things that here we're trying to work so hard, and it just seems like the Lord's blowing on it. But if we put Him first, He said, all these things will be added unto you. There's another verse in Scriptures and Lamentations that said, let us search our heart. And that's what the Lord was telling the people there in Haggai's time. Consider your ways. We have some tangible things that you and I can look at and measure and examine and say, where, Lord, are you truly first place in my heart and in my life? You know, I have been with people that have found the Lord and have put the Lord first in their lives. I remember one guy in particular. He got saved, and driving back home, he said, I can't believe what's happened. He said, the grass is greener. The trees look so much better. You know, there's a place in the Old Testament, I believe, it talked about the trees clapping their hands. And it talks about the hills skipping before thee. What is that? That's God's favor. That's His blessing. That's the place where He wants us to be. You know, the Lord, I want to say this too. When we put God first in our lives, the food tastes better. The relationship with wife is much better. All of our relationships get much better. Because I'm not depending upon them for my real sustenance. Because the Lord is feeding me. The Lord is nourishing. And I'm not dependent just on what they do. I'm receiving from heaven. And I have some of heaven to give. When we receive heaven, we have heaven to give from our lives. So as we start out this new year, 2019, I don't know about you, but for me, it seems like the years are going by so quickly. Let's go forward in putting God first in His rightful place in our lives. Let's demonstrate to ourselves and to others. You know, we need to do it for ourselves too. Let's demonstrate to us and others that the Lord is first. The Lord is number one in our lives. And He'll be with us. Amen.